This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisan, and Noel Lim. Now, the fragile relationship between UMNO and Bersatu saw a key development last week, with UMNO formally severing its political partnership with Bersatu going into the next general election. Now, in response, Bersatu released a statement acknowledging the breakup and said that it will move on, but then they'll now focus on improving cooperation with other partners in the PN coalition like PAS, Gerakan, and STAR.
Yeah, tensions between the two Malay parties have been high in recent months. In January, it was reported that 189 out of UMNO's 191 divisions nationwide rejected working with Bersatu. Rumours were swirling regarding meetings between UMNO Supreme Council members about the decision to stay or leave the PN coalition, as well as a supposed rift within the party between UMNO members with cabinet positions and those without. In fact, I think yesterday we saw UMNO President Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi take to Facebook Live, or was it a day before, to talk about enemies attacking UMNO from and basically trying to take advantage of the rift within, and that UMNO will not be that easily dissuaded. So, this will be interesting to see. As in, they won't, they can't be so easily destroyed from within or the outside or whatever, something like that.
Yeah, so this does raise the question of what comes next for both UMNO and Bersatu. Is this a unanimous decision within UMNO? And what of Perikatan Nasional as a coalition going into GE15? So to find out more, we have on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welch, longtime political commentator and honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thanks so much for joining us today. So what do you make of UMNO's decision to formally break away from Bersatu and the PN coalition?
Good morning and happy Women's Day. It's a pleasure to speak to you about this, but of course we're talking about a very difficult topic, and that is, I think what we see is inevitably a political announcement of a divorce and the marriage convenience that wasn't actually working very well and under strain. But at the same time, there are members of UMNO's that are continue to call for couples therapy to try to resonate or to keep this relationship at least working in a minimal way. But there are clearly tensions within the parties. And I think it's important for us to step back and look at what are some of the drivers of what's going on. A lot of what is happening as Zahid Hamidi's court case happens, is moving forward, are driven by the interests of the desperados involving the court case. They want to put pressure on the system. We also see a situation where there's a lack of patronage and position for the grassroots in the party. And there's been a lot of disgruntlement, which is the reason why we see members do not want to stay with Bersatu. And then we also see a situation that is that the government performance of PN, Muhyiddin's government, has actually weakened. And so on the ground, there's more pressure on UMNO to take a position that is separate. And UMNO wants to do something what it always does, which it wants to have its cake and eat it and at the same time be able to eat it. And that means they want the benefits of being in government, but they don't want to be blamed for the government. They also, I think Zahid clearly is trying to strengthen his hand. He's seen as and trying to defend the interests of the party. And so what we see is a situation that they're trying to carve out a half position where they're in and at the same time they will be eventually out. But this is a real question is whether or not this will actually allow them to win longer term. But they think that this is probably the best position for them, given the dynamics that are ongoing.
When I read UMNO's statement, my immediate thought is, what would UMNO hope to accomplish by showing its hand so early on who it will align with at GE15?
I think that they want to make sure that the grassroots stay with them and that they have seen to take a position early because they know the grassroots are very unhappy where things are in terms of governance. The economic impact is being felt in the Malay heartland. And I think that as a consequence, UMNO feels it needs to create distance with Bersatu and with this current government.
So, Bridget, do you think this move will pay off for UMNO?
Well, it's a very good question, right? I think that my sense is that I think that they think it does. I think that the problem is that there are two issues. One is that it is dividing the parties. The party is weakened. So while, you know, the position is that they're not going to actually stay with Bersatu, the fact is that many of them would like to do so. So the divisions within the party continue to fester, and they're being used also very effectively. I think the second thing is that UMNO still has to grapple with the issues that it's always had to grapple with since 2018, the reasons why it was kicked out of office. And those issues involve its current leadership. And so, you know, taking a position against Bersatu is not necessarily going to guarantee that the grassroots are going to come back to them until it changes its party leadership or actually changes the way the party operates. And those things aren't happening.
Do you think that UMNO will be able to mend this rift internally? Because it seems like on one side, you've got maybe UMNO cabinet ministers currently who may not want to leave their positions. On the other side, you have Dato Sri Zahid Hamidi, who doesn't seem to be in favor right now with the government, but holds the position of president of the party, which is in itself very powerful. Is there really any way to mend this divide within the party?
So the traditional way to resolve this is to hold party elections to address the internal problems. And unfortunately, UMNO has put this off. And by the way, this is not the first time they've done that. They did the same thing for GE14. Right? They put off party elections to afterwards. And well, look what happened to them in GE14. So the same thing is going on now. They're trying to put off their elections just through that result to kind of change the leadership, to offer a new set of alternatives. Because, and in fact, a potential change leadership may have a different position on engaging with different sets of actors in the political process. And by the way, Bersatu is not the only player that they could be looking at. PKR, for example, is another player they might be considering. So I would say in this particular juncture, can they mend the problems internally? Not until they fundamentally address the problems internally, which involves an election and also a clearer strategy about what the party stands for and its identity. And those issues are not necessarily being resolved.
But of course, on a wider basis as well, looking at the coalition, with Bersatu leader Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin still the prime minister of the country and senior UMNO warlords holding positions in government, how is Bersatu going to play this out? Does it have enough pull to perhaps entice undecided UMNO politicians to actually make the jump over?
Well, they have a hold on quite a few UMNO politicians as it is. I mean, the power and money of being in office is a very attractive mechanism. And it is one that is actually, you know, served to divide UMNO and also to shore up the Bersatu government. The incumbency advantage remains strong. But the closer election becomes, the more less likely that they have this. And so right now, for Bersatu and for PAS, a weak and divided UMNO is actually, I think, puts them in a stronger position. It makes them in a situation where they are seen as more together, more engaged in governance. But I think that Bersatu as a party has less tools moving forward. And they have, you know, more eroding parts of its popularity. The key thing that they have is that they have the power to issue and discuss some of the seats. And this is the seat negotiation still is a mechanism. But I think those negotiations have also been frayed in the relationship between the parties. And I think that it'll be hard to use these tools and traditional advantages of incumbency as the election nears.
So will this force PAS to choose during GE15 who it would support and who would it likely support?
Well, the answer to who PAS support is very simple. PAS supports PAS. It is concerned about the interest of its own party. So, what they have done is choose to not choose either Bersatu and UMNO, because it is marketed itself as saying that we are defending the unity of everyone. So they can't take a public position against either Bersatu or UMNO. And what they'll try to do is to continually work towards being seen as the one to try to bring these two parties together. But the reality is that a weaker UMNO benefits PAS. And in fact, a position of half position of UMNO also benefits PAS, because PAS is seen as being more consistent in its positions and less divided. And they are gaining ground because of this this conflict within UMNO and this conflict with Bursatu.
We know from this conversation, Bridget, and actually from just any news coverage over the last year or so, that there are divisions within UMNO. But what about PAS? Is there a Bersatu versus UMNO division within the party itself?
No, I think it's less about Bersatu versus UMNO. I think there are concerns within PAS about working with UMNO, because this has been their enemy for a long time politically. And those divisions, really are felt in places like Kelantan, Terengganu, where there have been longstanding, competitive animosity against these two, against UMNO. And I think it has been difficult to kind of convince the grassroots to work effectively with UMNO. And I think that, these are issues that came up earlier in the last year in terms of seat negotiations. And they still will be issues that will be important in terms of the configuration moving forward for PAS. PAS wants to ensure that it has control over key states, such as Terengganu and Kelantan. Issues such as the states in Kedah will be very problematic, where there's a lot of animosity on the ground between the different actors. And I think Hadi Awang has managed to temper these differences because he controls almost all of the key leadership positions in the party. And the question will come, what happens is when Hadi chooses to retire, and whether or not that will happen before elections. And what that means in terms of how it will allow some of these differences that do exist to come to the fore. For now, PAS has also been focused on, trying to get as much as it can out of national power. And it thinks that it has actually gained tremendously politically from that. Although there is also some residual criticism within the party about some of the ways that they're using their power. And so this is an issue that I think may come up down the line, but not in the near future.
So, Bridget, for a final question, I mean, what about Pakatan Harapan then? Does this UMNO Bersatu breakup give them a leg up in the run-up to GE15? Or is their coalition even stable enough to weather this? Because last week we did see several Amanah MPs also jumping over to PKR.
I think that there are real issues in Pakatan Harapan among the different parties. And one of those issues now is whether or not Amanah Harapan will actually work with UMNO. And there's a sense that there potentially may be a relationship between Harapan parties, particularly PKR and UMNO, but it's not ruled out completely. So the differences inside Harapan still percolate. And I think what we're seeing with the movement for Amanah reps is really the same sets of issues that are driving the politics nationally, is that they're looking and saying, hey, can we win just being Amanah without resources and without the grassroots? And as a consequence of that, what we're seeing is that they're moving to places where they think they have a better position electorally. And I think there's a movement towards more survivable options. And that also opens up the table to kind of different type of alliance relationships. I think that more generally, when we consider the relationships among all the political parties, I believe that we're going to move away from these kind of rigid, kind of clear coalitions to a much looser coalition arrangement, which we saw, for example, in Sabah, and we're probably going to see it in the national stage as well.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, political commentator and honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, breaking down the political machinations that we see here in Malaysia and the impact of this split between UMNO and Bersatu. Interesting point she makes that I guess we are starting to see the rise of very survivalist politics now that the coalitions in this country are becoming losing that, monolithic hold on the voter demographic. So it's which is the situation that is going to be most electorally savvy for individual MPs is going to be probably the question, or party members. We'll wait and see. Right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and then after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Shaning will be speaking with Hannah Yeo, former Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, and Datin Padukache Asma, former CEO of Yayasan Kebajikan Negara, in conjunction with International Women's Day. So stay tuned for that conversation. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.